We are Sarva. The future of education starts here.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Everyday Genius. I'm your host, Pete Craig. And today it's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast a lady who's an expert in human potential, has also quite traveled the world and founded an NGO that is actually helping to support the Amazon, and in supporting the Amazon is actually supporting the whole world. That organization is called the Floresta Association. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into this. But for now, please join me in welcoming Franziska Freitag to today's show. Hi, Franziska.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited for this conversation and welcome everyone who's listening and present with us today. It's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But before we dive in, there's a couple of questions I usually like to ask, and these are quite unrelated to anything else, but I think they're super important and not enough people ask these questions. So the first one is, you know, what's alive in you right now?
What's the what? Sorry.
What's alive in you right now?
So much. I would say the change, you know, like a childlike excitement. That's very present in me, you know, where I observe very much the world and everything that's happening. There's so much that's happening in such a short period of time. And that's where I feel, you know, I remember in the beginning, everything was a bit scary, you know, no one knew what was going to happen. And still, we don't know what's happening. But now I see it with an excitement and with this childlike curiosity, you know, to either way, wherever we are going as a collective, as a planet, you know, there is change happening, undeniable. And that's very alive within me right now, as I guess with many people, you know, I mean, it's what's present with everyone, this uncertainty. But rather than getting afraid about the uncertainty, I choose to really see it from a perspective of curiosity.
I think you're right. I think, you know, this is, there are two ways of looking at it. You know, you can look at it with fear and you can look at it and let it kind of paralyze you, or you can embrace it and look at actually the wonder that might be created as a result of it. And I think that's a beautiful way to look at things. And then I guess the next question, it kind of leads on from that, and that's, you know, what's life inviting you to do more of?
Be more present, as always. You know, because exactly like of that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know where we'll be maybe even tomorrow. And that for me has been true very much, you know, living literally all across the world without a proper base for years. Like, the situation is very new, you know. So for me, I got to spend a lot of time with my family due to this, but also very little time with my partner. So, you know, whatever time I am getting right now, whether this is with friends and family, my boyfriend or whoever, it invites me to be really present with that time, because, you know, tomorrow I might have to go somewhere else already and don't even know it. So that's been for me a really big gift from this whole situation also, you know, with the gratitude and the being present.
I think that's a great reminder anyway, because that's something that we don't do. We don't do enough. And if anything comes out of this, if there's one good thing that comes out of this, is that it is that people are, you know, learning to be more present and learning to be more aware of, you know, their emotions and aware of kind of like how they interact with other people.
Exactly.
Cool. Amazing. So let's start off by just, you know, what's your mission in life? What's the thing that your purpose in life?
That is such a big question. you know, I get this like asked a lot, and I always say I believe there is a bigger mission and purpose, you know, and then it breaks down in the execution and that changes.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't always have to look the same way, and how we execute this purpose, this mission, that might change, you know, a few times a year, maybe a few times every 10 years.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, the bigger aspect of it is really to get more into who I am, you know, to be more and embody more of who I am with every single cell of my body, and being present in this human body, and, you know, remember the depth of that essence, because the more I remember of that and the more I am physically embodied of that, you know, the more people I can support on their journey doing that also, and the more people are supported in their potential, soul potential on their path and their remembrance, you know, I believe that's supporting the planet. And that's initially coming to what is really, you know, the biggest love in my life, in my heart, is this beautiful planet and the people and nature and everything that's present here. So that, you know, on a bigger level is like what my love is the biggest for, I would say.
Yeah.
But then, you know, how I execute that obviously changes as I'm changing, it grows as I'm growing. But from a very early age, you know, that's always been in regards with working and with people.
Yeah.
You know, I started my own business when I was 24. But, you know, the way I work with people is very different to how I work with people right now. You know, it was a lot about conscious living, conscious eating, veganism. You know, I did like a lot of talks in Australia for a while. You know, and then I've been growing, I've been changing, and now I do something completely different, but built on the foundation of back then, obviously, you know? So that's why I'm saying the execution always changes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that, you know, and this is something I see quite a lot, and I believe it's missing in families, it's missing in education, and that is exactly what you just described, which is understanding, diving into, you know, more of who you are and understanding who we are. Yeah, because it all seems to me that, you know, far too early we're disconnected, yeah, from our true essence. We're disconnected from ourselves, and we're molded over time into something that perhaps we never ever realize. And for some people, you know, they realize it, you know, through a particular event, or they might realize it when they're 40 or when they're 50. Yeah, and they realize actually there's something that doesn't feel right, and they eventually they trace it back to this essence of who was them. You know, what triggered that for you? You know, that search for that, or has that always been there for you?
I think you're right. It's a different trigger for different people. Many times it's you know, actually a painful experience in their life that triggers them to ask people questions. And I think for me, it's been a combination of different things. I was very lucky to grow up with a very spiritual mom. So, you know, I feel like I was, without liking the word spirituality or, you know, wanting to make this a big thing, the way I grew up was different than many people have been growing up and are growing up right now, I would say. You know, and I was present in like Reiki classes when I was 9 years old. My mom herself is very highly certified in the coaching world, so you know, by 12 I was like helping her with the questions for her NLP graduation, you know, and all these things. So somehow I was always very connected with that world. I remember, you know, when I was 10, I would go and collect herbs, you know, and have like big books about it and dry them and make oils and tinctures and smudge them at home. So I think that has always kind of been a part of me and in my life. And the guidance that I received through that has just been very magical. Like I could write a book about, you know, so many, this is crazy things happening in a very magical way in my life. And then, when I was 20, I found out about veganism, you know, and I read about it, and it just made so much sense in my life. And I think through the change of my diet and my mindset, you know, something within me started to change also, and that consciousness that we all carry started to grow and become brighter and lighter. And then with 24, like I said before, I decided to start my own business. And that really was the accelerator for, you know, my whole personal development journey and purpose and all of it. Because, you know, I graduated in communication and media management. However, I had no idea how to build or run a business at all. Yeah. You know, like that was nothing I learned at university, especially when it comes to self-worth that is very much connected to selling your products, you know, and then you're there, you're like, oh my God, I like have this burning desire in my heart to bring this to the world, but I really have to get out of my own way, you know. I hated public speaking. I would cry in front of, you know, a big percentage of people. So, you know, there was a lot of inner work needed for this to happen. And that, I think, was the indicator for me. But, you know, to say there's like, I didn't have this key event that many people have, you know, like someone dies that is close to them, they almost die, they get sick. Like, you know, these stories, I hear them so much with the people I work, and that's the trigger where a button gets pushed and they wake up, you know, they're like, fuck, what I've been doing like this whole time in my life, I need to change something. There's more to it. I didn't really have that. But that's why I'm saying, you know, I think for me, it was always the way I already grew up, that I was always like one foot in this world, you know, and then I just had to pull the second one. So that's been that. That's a very short version, you know.
It's interesting you say that, because I interviewed a young man for this podcast. He was 10 years old when I interviewed him. He's 11 now, and amazingly quite bright young man. So quite full of life, you know, lots of ideas, you know, very quite passionate. And I met his mum and found out he's got four other siblings, and they're all like that. Yeah. And
really?
And the reason I bring this up is because she had her own kind of life event. But as a result of that, she started trying to reconnect with who she was and find out who she was. So she started going to, you know, seminars, personal growth seminars, those types of things, very similar to, you know, to yours. And she was taking the children along with her. Children like, you know, just were playing, not necessarily sitting watching, but they were in the room, they were playing. And they, you know, now I think what they've got is they've got the benefit of a mother who's far more open. And connected with herself. But then they've also like just imbibed all of this energy and this understanding without really knowing where it's coming from, or without really pushing it. And that's allowed them to stay super, super connected with who they are and what they want. And then combine that with her just giving them freedom to explore those things within certain boundaries. Yeah. And just saying, like, go off and do what you want. Yeah. If maths is not your strong point, I'm not going to make you do maths. Yeah. You know, what are you passionate about? Let's find a way for you to do that. And I think that for me, that's hearing that connection and you talking about that, just kind of, I think, you know, points to the fact that actually that's something that's needed, is this reconnection of you know, parents with themselves, and then this ability to allow their children to be a little bit freer.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. But you know what I even think is more part of it, is when you as a child grow up in a world where, you know, things that we can't see, you know, like energy work and that kind of stuff, you know, an alternative medicine in a way is present already. You know, you already grow up with an expanded mindset that most people don't have. And you know, then you can see what that makes out of like little human beings, you know. And what they grow into. And I think that is something, you know, that was more present. And, you know, I mean, there are so many places now where people, like in schools, you know, where children start meditating already and these kind of things. And I think that's really important if we want to grow, you know, a new generation that's more connected with themselves, like you said before also. But that, again, like you say, you know, needs parents that are already connected more to themselves also. So it's, I guess, going hand in hand, you know.
I think that time's coming. You know, some of the studies that we've been looking at, you know, suggest that millennial parents are already, you know, far more open to that type of thing.
Totally, so, for sure.
Know, I think we're on the cusp of, you know, a new generation, and we just need to provide the right stimulus for them in order for them to become aware that, you know, they're hyper aware of what's going on in the world. You know,
they're
hyper aware of, like, you know, the challenges that, you know, so many of them are quite aware of, you know, the UN's sustainable development goals that you wouldn't believe. So, you know, if they're aware of those things, let's find ways of kind of allowing them to use their genius to solve those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I truly believe that, you know, I think we millennials, we're here to shake up, you know, the world and be a little bit of, you know, the rebellious kind of generation that like questioning everything and really annoyed the previous generations to the core. And I really do believe, you know, the next generation that comes after us, those are the kids that are going to change everything.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is that where they call it this drive for the work that the Forrester Association came from? Is it that, you know, that kind of rebellious streak? You know, I guess you, did you go out there with a purpose or was it part of your travels and you just realized that there was a problem here?
I always wanted to visit the Amazon. I remember when I was like 5, 6 years old, I would point at the globe, you know, staring at my mom being like, can we go there? It's like, I want to go. You know, and a very strong connection with the indigenous cultures. Mm-hmm. Like from a very young age, I would read books and books and books about it. So, you know, I believe as everything, it's always been within me, but then it needed me to actually be there and spend a lot of time there. That brought me to the point after like 2 or 3 years consistently visiting the Amazon where I was like, all right, like this is my home, you know, the at least the home of my soul, if it's not, you know, my home. And I feel so connected here. And I received so much through the time I spent here, through the people I got to meet. And I had this dream, really, really strong dream about the nonprofit itself, you know, and it was like kind of a person standing in front of me and I was having a conversation with it. And I believe, you know, I made a decision in that dream to devote my love and my life to the protection, not just of the Amazon, but of our planet. And that again, you know, as what I said before, then just comes to how do we execute this vision, this mission, the purpose that, you know, has already been there and is always going to be there. And that for me has been the nonprofit. So for me, it's a container that I can pour in all my love, you know, all my passion, everything that makes me happy and fulfills me, I get to express through the work that I share with the nonprofit. And, you know, it's not limited on the rainforest, really. It's, you know, forests and the world in general that I believe just needs so much more attention and appreciation and, you know, balance very much.
Yes.
And, you know, I always go between like, who am I? Like one single person, you know, like there's so much change that's needed on this planet. Yes. Like I'm like this little ant, you know, like what can I do to do that? But then I'm like, but who am I not to do it? You know, if I am at the end of my life and I'm about to die and I ask myself, have I really done everything for me possible to support this change on this planet? And I couldn't answer this question with 100% yes, I did. You know, then I would not be able to die in a fulfilled way. No. So then, yes, I am only one person, but at the same time, you know, there are so many of us. Mm-hmm. And if every single person thinks there's just one person, you know, you see what's happening, like nothing happens. But if every single person thinks, yes, but there are more of me, you know, and I can only do the best I can. And obviously, you know, over the time, this has been growing a lot. Also, we have a really big team by now, you know, so it's not just me anymore. It's a lot of us. Yeah. And that just by itself is really beautiful to see.
Mm. Perfect. When you mentioned that from an early age, you know, you kind of had a connection or you felt a connection with the indigenous people, was that, and I'm asking this just because I'm quite super curious, you know, normally those types of things are kind of like pushed out of us, you know, those types of interests are not encouraged.
Yeah.
You know, was your like your mother supportive in that? She encouraged you, she allowed you space to explore that?
Yeah, she supported it as much as it was possible for her understanding back then. For sure. And that was a lot, you know, like she would, I mean, you know, I didn't have the money to buy me all the books when I was in primary school or, you know, like high school, early high school. So she would do that, you know, and she would take me to like crystal shops so I can get on with my crystal addiction and all of that when I was, I don't know, 10 or 11. But then I remember this really, really big moment. I was 15 years old and I found a flyer of this Celtic medicine man, and he offered a 3 years apprenticeship, you know, where you would live with this person. Like, I've never ever come across anything like this after I saw this fire in Germany or in Europe in general. You know, I mean, you're European, you know, like most of this knowledge is gone, you know, there is not much of left of it. And I found this flyer at a friend's place and I took it home and I was like, Mom, I want to do this. I want to live with this, you know, person for 3 years and learn everything about the plants, about the animals, about like all of this. And she's like, well, you can do that after you've graduated. Like right now you're going to school. Yeah. And it broke my heart, you know, it really, like, it's still such a strong memory in my mind. But you know, I think she did what every good, you know, parent would have done. What she thought was right at that time, which was, you know, to have a proper graduation so I can do whatever I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
So yes and no, but more yes than no.
Do you feel that, do you feel you missed anything because of that? Or did you?
I still ask myself.
Yeah.
Like, I still ask myself, where would I be right now if I had done this? You know, like, what would I be doing? And I'm still curious to, you know, maybe in a parallel universe I'm living this life, I don't know. But not missing out, you know, I believe there is a plan and, you know, that's been unfolding beautifully. And I wouldn't be where I am today without graduating high school and going to college and all that kind of stuff. But of course, like, definitely there is a part of me that is wondering, you know, what life would be like if I had gone down that path.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the time that you've spent in the Amazon, the time that you've spent with the indigenous people has kind of like given you a large chunk of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless. So you've still found a way, you know, that passion.
Exactly.
Wasn't kind of like sucked out of you. That within. And I think that for me is the piece that normally gets missed. Yeah. Is, the system, if you want to call it the system, for want of a better description, for too many people, they lose that connection, they lose that dream, you know. And I think the thing that I'm picking up with you is that, you know, that dream never left, you know, that strong connection that you had.
No, it just got bigger.
Never left. It just grew and grew. Yeah. Yeah. It was almost kind of just put on pause for that. Short period, but it kind of squeezed its way out in other ways.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And that, you know, again, this is the way we grow up, the society we live in, you know, where you get in school that teaches you how you have to be, and if you're not that, it means you are not intelligent. Yeah. And that does kill, you know, inspiration, creativity, and all of that. That is such a gift in every child. So you know, we'll see where that goes.
How do you see that differently in the indigenous people? You know, this.
Yeah, very different. You know, like, self-expression is just such a normal, given standard, I would say. You know, where, I mean, there is basic school lessons, you know, like writing, reading, like the basics of it. And, you know, you can say there is a good aspect and a not so good aspect of it also, because, you know, some then want to go study and that's a bit more challenging. But at the same time, like, they actually have time to be children. You know, they are out all day playing. And, you know, it's not like they have to ask for permission to go out in a way, you know, like, there are so many families, so many children, and they all, like, look after the children at the same time without really talking about it. It's just normal, you know? So, you know, to see kids growing up that way, I think is already super special. And then in combination with nature, you know, like, they literally are embraced by nature every single day. And I think that already does so much on the nervous system, you know, on the physical body, on our health, mental health as well. That is super special in itself. And then obviously, you know, the connection that they have in a spiritual way that they grow up with, their traditions, you know, their stories, their way of living is so different, so connected And that just raises completely different humans compared to the way we grow up. We grew up and kids in our world grow up, you know.
Are they aware, of what's going on, externally? Are they aware of the impact that the Western world is having on their environment, on their ecosystem?
Absolutely. I mean, they had the missionaries there, or at least the particular tribe that I'm working with, and a lot of tribes, have experienced the same history. So they were forced in a way to be connected with the Western world, and once they have been, there is no going back anymore, because then they became dependent on food, on gas, on all different things, money, that they just never had ever before. They're very much aware of that Western world. I think especially right now, even more than ever before, because so far it almost feels like it's separated when you're in the jungle, mm-hmm. Because everything there is just, it's like nature, it's like in balance. And then there's the outside world. That's how it feels like. But right now, the outside world is actually actively threatening the indigenous cultures through this virus, whatever is true about it or not. There are people dying of it in the jungle. So if they want or not, the Western world has become a huge part, even more, mm-hmm. of their world right now as well. Which is why I think there is even more support needed. And it's really interesting because, now there is a lot of COVID relief funds that are going on with different projects and nonprofits for these people. But, at the same time, they still need food. A lot of these tribes, they make their money to pay food and their families through groups that are arriving there, or the work they share, outside the village with the world. And none of this is happening right now. So I'm like, yes, a COVID relief fund is great, but it actually just, catalyzes what's already been boiling underneath with this, the issue that they've been having with the not being sustainable anymore. Yeah. So we need to look beyond the COVID and actually just underneath of what's coming up because of it. And that is, permaculture, this is sustainable living, waste management, all of these things. So again, you can choose the perspective where all of this is painful and a nightmare, or you can see it as a gift, that the current situation is just bringing whatever has been very present with these mm-hmm. tribes before already just to the surface even more, and it's just another aspect where as a collective, we have the opportunity now to look at and be like, all right, we fucked up. How can we do better right now?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the work that you do with Floresta then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the projects. Exactly. That's one thing. Mm. And then the raising the awareness of it, that's the other thing. Because that's the thing, we don't know what we don't know. And many people just don't know. And this is where I feel like lovingly I want to show, what else there is going on in the world that we don't see on TV, that we might not learn about in school.
Mm. How important then is education of those things? Because, a lot of people perhaps don't see the connection between the problems that are happening there and see why that's relevant for their children to understand.
It's education, and you can educate so much. I think personally, and that's a very personal opinion, what is even more important is consciousness. As long as people don't have a consciousness of a collective breathing organism that we are on this planet, they can hear and read as much as they want about the people in the Amazon. Their consciousness is not going to allow them to care. And I'm not saying this from, an angry place. It's just what I've come to see and learn and experience the last few years. It's really just through the evolution of one's consciousness from this ego, I, everything is about my needs, my life, And only when that expands and comes into the understanding of a we, you know, collective, yeah. that's when we start to care. And when we start to see, wow, you know, there's so much more beyond my individual life that is really important too. Yeah. What can I do? So for me, it's the balance, you know, of the, you know, the numbers, the facts, like, you know, the reaching the logical brain. But even more so, it's the work on the consciousness of people and humanity, because, you know, I think that's what's really, really the key to everything. And that's, you know, my intention with the work I do, to expand that and to help that so that more people actually understand that this is going. Hold on, I just got to change this room. So let's continue here. Exactly, you know, so that's where I'm trying to find a way of communication that speaks to both, you know, the logical mind yeah. with numbers and like, hey, you know, check this out. There's so much new going on here that you might not have heard about. But then also, you know, how can I connect with people on a heart level, on a consciousness level to, yeah. you know, light a spark within them also.
How do you see that? Or what do you believe needs to happen? Because there's two levels, or there's two entry points where we can have that impact, where we can change that consciousness. The first one is with the adults and communicating that message with data, like you say. But then it's a much harder job to get someone who's, you know, kind of already kind of very ingrained in who they are and what they believe to have that changing consciousness, that awareness. And then the other point of entry, you know, it's kind of like the children, the next generation.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you solve those two problems? And I'm not expecting you to have an answer.
Really good question. I think if I had the answer to it, you know, it's one of the most important questions, you know, and obviously I ask myself that question also. And I think it's the way you also, you know, addressed before, the work with the kids for sure. You know, having the opportunity for them to grow up in a different way, but for them to grow up in a different way, the work also has to happen with the parents, right? Mm. And then beyond that, you know, the work can happen with anyone and everyone. So I think, you know, this goes really into the mysteries of an individual soul's journey and whatever your beliefs are around that. You know, we can look at it from a perspective, well, you know, every path is chosen. You know, we already have chosen on the experiences that come, you know, into our life on this planet while we are here. But then the question is, where's the free will and how much can we do to make it better, you know, or are we just robots really, you know, following our soul's calling that's already been written down? So there's a lot of different theories and a lot of different perspectives that we can choose to look at this from, which I think, you know, it's good to try them all on and figure out the best of everything. You know, but I think if a person would ask me, what can I do? You know, to support this whole transition and change, I think the most important aspect is to speak our truth, you know, every single person, and to be really okay with being uncomfortable. And that's something I'm super passionate about as well, is having these very highly uncomfortable conversations, you know, with myself, like helping my clients to have them with themselves, but also online, like publicly, you know, talking about the things no one else wants to talk about. It's like, I don't know, this person you don't want to talk about, but you feel like, you know, already you have to talk about because it's something important, like, you know, your tax return or something like that. And you're like, oh my God, I don't want to talk about it, but it's there. It's so present, you know? And these are the conversations, the truth that I think we all need to have to admit, you know, that we have done our best and it got us so far. And now we have to admit that we have to change. You know, we have to do things differently. We can't continue the way we have. And, you know, I'm also really much in a place where I think you can share that publicly with people and you can speak your truth. which is the only way to create change in the first place. Because if I know all of this, you know, but I keep it to myself, then what's the whole point of it? You know, there is this theory of what's a lie. You know, is lying just actively saying words that are not true, or is it also to keeping the truth away from people who might need to hear it? You know, and that's where I think this is the best thing we can do as an individual, is to speak up from, and that's key, from a compassionate place, from our heart, without judging others, without pointing at others of doing things wrong, or, you know, just in a different way that we believe is right. But to genuinely just share from our heart and help people to see that there are other things that are important also.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think, yeah, there's, you don't know until you speak out. You don't know how many other people are there out there that have the same view as you. And if you hold that in, yeah, then yeah, that you're denying other people the opportunity to to speak out, and you're denying yourself the opportunity to perhaps solve a bigger problem.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is where it starts with our individual journey.
Yeah.
Like, we can only look after ourselves and be on our, like, you know, and be the best we can be. And that's, you know, ideally, then we also get to help other people to also learn how to do that. But if we don't start with ourselves, you know, there is no point in getting started at all.
Mm. Yeah. A quick question for you, because it's really interesting. You studied communication. And you talked a lot about, heart-centered kind of communication. I know from being in business a long time that there's, and a lot of that time being in the marketing space, most of what's spoken, most of what's communicated, doesn't come from the heart. Most of what comes from the head. How was that, for you, learning a way of communicating, a way of kind of putting a message across that, that you perhaps knew internally was not right?
That was exactly, I think, one of my trigger points, to be honest. I graduated and I had, the best CV. I did all the things. I did all the internships with great companies. And, like, I was in a really good position to start up a really amazing career in this area. And I remember I had a job offer as a trainee or something like that with, a big fashion brand. I think it was, Chanel or Dior or something in Germany. You know, and I thought that's what I really wanted, because that's what everyone else in at my university wanted. And then I didn't accept it. I was like, I can't do that. If I work in marketing and PR, which I really enjoyed, it has to be for something that I can stand behind 100%. If that's what I'm selling, if that's what I'm making bigger, if that's what, all my work is about every day, then it has to be something I believe in. And that for me was such a huge wake-up call, where I was like, okay, but what is that? What is that product or service that I truly believe in, that the world needs, actual needs? That I'm willing to sell. And then I was like, all right, screw this, I'm leaving Germany. And I went to Thailand and I started to work in online marketing for a scuba diving school in Thailand. And I was like, yeah, like, people need this. I forget about this, this is really cool. And I got really into the corporate social responsibility and already started working with the NGOs in Thailand to protect the reefs and all of that. And, so I was like, trial and error, I was finding out what I'm passionate about and also what I don't really enjoy doing. And from there, I went to Burma to work with a big NGO there on their projects and stuff like that. So, you can use whatever it is that you learned and turn it into something coming from your heart. Yeah. Even like people, lawyers, judges, people in finance, whatever, you can always use that education and that experience and use it for something good. And I think that's what's actually really, really important. And that's what I work with a lot of people, you know, they're like, I'm looking for my purpose. I'm like, you know, not everyone is meant to be a Reiki master, you know, or whatever it is. Like, your purpose may just be to work in finance and support, you know, a really good company, conscious business with that, you know, and that's amazing and so important. So, yeah, it's been tricky, and then I used it in a good way.
It's funny. It always makes me laugh because, yeah, the reality is, when you actually start communicating from the heart and you give a message from the heart, you don't need all of the tricks. You don't need the NLP language. You don't, the hypnotic writing. You don't need, you know, the hype. You don't need any of those things. If you actually communicate your message and your message is pure and you communicate it from the heart instead of from the head, the impact is more powerful. Yeah,
absolutely.
And actually, you reach the right people, and those right people, you know, are the ones that are going to carry your business or your message forward. You know, they're not just going to be a consumer; they're going to be an advocate, they're going to be a supporter, they're going to be an ambassador. So it always makes me chuckle when people say, "No, we've got to do it this way. We've got to use this."
Do it your way. That's all I say. Do it your way. Do whatever you want to do. Be you. You know, and that's exactly what you say. I could write a whole book about this, or run a whole training and workshop about it, because it's so important and so true, especially, you know, in these days where people get so much more sensitive in general. You're so much more accessible for feeling other people's energy, you know, so you can write the best sales copy, but if people feel like this is off, you know, and it's not who you really are, they're not going to buy. And that's amazing, you know. I think this lie detector thing is just getting more and more sensitive, and it's you know, and also the question, like, how easy can life be? Like, do I need all these, you know, special sales language skills, whatever, or can I just be myself? And through being myself, I'm polarizing already because no one else can be that.
Yeah.
You know, and people just get inspired by that and then want more of that, exactly who you are. And that brings me back to the beginning of our conversation, you know, where it's about being more of myself, more and more and more and more.
Yeah,
and helping other people to be that too.
And I think that's a really beautiful message. If there was one message to take out of this call, it's that. It's be more of yourself, reconnect with, you know, who you are, find out who you are, and be that unapologetically.
Exactly.
Amazing. Is there, so before we wrap up, is there one message that you'd quite really like to share?
Apart from that one, you know, I think this is the most important message, to be honest. You know, to be like, becoming okay with who you are, I think, is one of the most transformational journeys of our life. You know, because it means to unlearn everything we thought we are not, or that we have to be, you know. And I think this is really something. If someone listens and takes away one thing, this is the thing, you know, it's okay to be you. In fact, you know, that's what's needed. And to fall in love with whoever that is, and with a childlike curiosity to actually get to know that person, you know, I think that's the gift of being human and being in this life. And everything else is really missing the point. You know, if we're chasing one thing after another, materialistic, you know, approach, we're missing the whole point of actually getting to know this incredible being that has the opportunity to experience itself right now in a way where we are conscious that there is something, you know, there is a voice inside of us that is talking.
Yeah.
And it's like this beautiful, beautiful gift that we all receive here. And I would love to see everyone, you know, to make the most out of it.
And that's where genius lies as well. It's our true essence, and at that point, we are all geniuses.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for watching.
some real gems, and I hope that that everyone will take something away from that. If nothing, just to be more themselves.
Exactly, and to be okay with that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Francesca.
Thank you.
We are Asarva. The future of education starts here.